My husband died in 2011 from metastatic melanoma cancer. The last 6 weeks of his life, my family, my three children and I looked after him at home.
He was a quartermaster gunner transporting troops to Vietnam. There's a lot of ship maintenance he had to do and a lot of painting the deck. I think they did that very frequently. A lot of out in the sun, and that's where he got his melanoma from his service outside in the sun. I think he enjoyed the camaraderie of the Navy, and when he left the Navy, he did a few other jobs, but then he joined the Merchant Navy and he became a Marine pilot, which is what he was doing when he became sick. So he stayed with Marine life, and life on the water and the ocean has always been an important part to him. In October 2009, he started having a funny leg, like his knee felt a bit funny, and he got general weakness on his leg, and then he lost complete use of one of his legs, and then it came down to a brain tumour, and that was when we first found out he was sick and had the melanoma, which spread over 18 months, spread through his body. When you have metastatic melanoma in the brain, the doctor told us he had a 12-week life expectancy, but he actually lived for 18 months, so we're very, very lucky.
School filmed it all, which was great, and we first worked with kids when we were out at Brown.
My daughter's getting married in September this year, and obviously it's a very difficult thing emotionally that her father's not going to be there. I had a few tears earlier from that, but just explaining that, and I was saying any widows that I meet that even haven't met my daughter, I can just bring them to tears because, one, I'm walking her down the aisle, but I've also chosen to make what would be the father of the bride's speech, as in thinking of what my husband would say to my daughter in that situation.
We were really proud of the kids.
And then the other thing that kind of brought us a lot to tears is that what I think in those speeches you also give your daughter and future son-in-law, you know, your knowledge or a lesson, you know, in a secret to a good marriage. And the last 18 months of my husband's life when he was sick was the best part of our marriage because we didn't take each other for granted. In our relationships, we get so caught up in money and a dirty house and little things, really, that we forget to really appreciate each other, which is what we certainly did the last... So that's the message that I'm going to pass on.
We first worked with kids when we were out at Roma.
And I had to think of what would be the father-daughter dance. So we're actually going to go with Van Morrison, Have I Told You Lately That I Love You? And significant men in her life, like she's got two brothers, her future father-in-law, uncles, my husband's best friend, are going to all dance with her for sort of 20 seconds each of that song type thing. So,
Susie shared this story of hers over about an hour and a couple of cups of tea. The five female musicians sat curled on the couches of their rented apartment and scribbled notes in their books. There were giggles, and there were tears. And in a matter of minutes, and I mean minutes, this happened.
I'm trying to work out the melody a bit, but yeah, it's a bit high.
I'll let you go for an hour or something.
Oh, no, that's worth it. I'll just follow you.
Yes, that was fantastic.
Man that you married, I know he can't be like yours.
today. Appreciate this love like it's yours, like it's your very life.
After the soldier's wife sung that to Susie, the tears continued. And then I wanted to ask Susie about the other times that she'd been honoured for the sacrifice she gave to Australia throughout her husband's service.
In 2014, a group of legacy widows, at Lady Bird Legacy Widows, travelled to Honolulu, and we went to a Vegas tribute concert with the impersonators. There was the Elvis and the Madonna, and all the different groups were there. And Elvis came out at the start, before the show started, and was greeting people, and he saw us 11 ladies together, and we were actually dressed in Hawaiian print outfits. And he said, "Where are you girls from?" And we said we were from Townsville and we were war widows. And then halfway through the concert, he stopped the show and he said, "We've got special guests here today, all the way from Townsville, Queensland, Australia," and who we were. And we had to stand and he thanked us for our sacrifice. And the rest of the audience clapped. And that's something that's never happened in my own country. So it was very emotional. He also dedicated a song, an Elvis song, "I Remember You," to us. And we didn't have a dry eye in our row. It was fantastic. It was the highlight of the trip.
Why don't you think you've been recognised and thanked for that sacrifice in an Australian context?
I'm not really sure. I think perhaps because it's not, the plight of widows and defence families isn't out a lot in the media. People think that after a year or two you get on with your life, that defence families, past and present, really do contribute and do make a sacrifice. You certainly do learn to live and adapt with your situation, but you certainly never get over it. I think because I know how it felt when, to all of the ladies, when we were thanked for our sacrifice, it just felt very special, and I think it helps with the suffering that you do go through. And it'd be great if there was more of that in Australia. So I think this project does get the word out there and maybe just makes people think that maybe it's not quite as simple as what they thought. Yeah.